Okay. Oh, we're on the air. Finally. Ah, well. Welcome, then. Welcome, everybody, to Ghostly Talk.
It's been quite a week.
Yeah, it's been quite a week.
For everybody here.
An absolutely insane week.
Yeah, it's been
Before we describe it, I want to get over some things, such as this is indeed Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
And I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And Christy is, or Christy, whoever she is, I should say Karma.
You blew her cover, dude.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be all over the message board. Karma's not in tonight, but she will be with us next week for when we talk with World ITC about transcendental communication.
There are so many things to talk about.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Spiritcom.
Right.
We're going to talk about just... we'll take a half an hour just talking about what we're going to talk about next week.
Are they going to be a full 2 hours, or are they going to be the half hour? Or
we'll do an hour and a half with them.
I mean, hour and a half?
I mean, but it's just going to be, you guys really need to tune in next week, because this is coming off of Halloween, actually, when Art Bell, I mean, Coast to Coast, I mean, we're going to pimp them every week.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, but, I mean, we all listen to it.
Halloween fell on Sunday this year, actually, and came home that night, was putting the archive up, and I'm like, hey, I wonder what Coast to Coast is going to have on late tonight. And they had World ITC on. Well, there wasn't World, I'm sorry. They were talking about the Spiritcom project.
Right, right.
And they went through all the tapes. Art played all the tapes. He didn't even talk pretty much the whole show. He just talked about these tapes a little bit here.
Wow.
And played tapes. And they are amazing.
Well, I'm hoping we get in the nitty gritty.
We are. I'm hoping we can really dig into, guys. You
because isn't that show. Is that what you want the chalkboard for?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
The chalkboard is going to be part of my new... dining room / lab.
Lab? Okay, cool.
Okay, so there you go, right?
But this week, of course, is an extremely important show.
Oh,
as
yes,
well,
it is. Oh.
Because we get to talk with author Mark Kimmel about the sequel. Because he wrote a second book in his series. So the first one was Trillion. This one's Decimal.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be talking all about
that. It's ironic that it's raining again outside today. I'm hoping, because last time Mark was on, you guys know, you heard about all the stuff that happened down here. We nearly lost. We lost power one time.
Uh-huh.
We got kicked off the internet another time, I think.
And wasn't that when the phone line?
The phone line came down in the backyard, so I was down
here. Just out of the back.
We got through it. I mean,
yeah.
Mr. Kimmel was really nice to us, and he understood. He stuck it out with us, too. So hopefully it was an amazing interview regardless. And I'm hoping we can get even more out of it tonight.
See, now that I've read Trillion and I've started Decimal, all I can say is, dude, you got to get these books. I mean, they're just insanely good. They're entertaining. They're fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what he writes into them is just amazing stuff, because it's everything. It's conspiracy. It's UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
It's skeptics. It's, underground plots and things like that, and secret organizations. Just absolutely great, great, great stuff. So we have
author Mark. He's a brilliant man, too. He's just an amazing man. The story of how he got into this is just amazing itself. I mean, this guy was a corporate raider.
Right.
And he was a big guy at one time. He made the big money.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. suit and tie guy with the briefcase, and he just gave it all up and said, I'm tired of this. This is not what I want to be anymore. And he followed what he wanted to do.
The cosmic paradigm.
And when nobody wants to publish you, what do you do?
Big business corporate leader, you start a publishing company.
Put that education to work. I mean, that was one of the most amazing things we talked about.
So I'm really, really excited about this week. I'm really excited about next week. Being Ghostly Talk, of course, our website is www.ghostlytalk.com.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of activity going on there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Ghostly Talk is, of course, broadcast live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yeah.
And out of the Haunted Basement Studios in gorgeous, gorgeous, Christmassy Fraser, Michigan.
It is.
Just north
of
Detroit.
I noticed that coming here. I'm like, oh, we'll have a pretty little light.
And they also do, like, well, because we only have a few streetlights in downtown. They do the, like, they wrap it with the garland or whatever.
Yeah.
And put a bell up top. I mean, it's so cute, you know, Christmas in a small town. Although we're only, 20 minutes from downtown Detroit.
That's where the real beautiful lights come out.
And
the bums get to swing off them all Christmas long, right?
So, but yeah, beautiful beautiful suburban Detroit here.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where Ghostly Talk originates at.
Yep. This is our home.
In case you ever wonder.
This is our home. Few things that happened this week. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
I'm good.
Are you sure?
Other than if you want to talk during the show, you can't talk to us, but you can be in chat because we're in chat. There's a link on ghostlytalk.com. Yeah. There's also a link on pioneer.rollo, R-O-L-O. .net.
It's brilliant because you always remember this stuff, and I would never remember to talk about this. Every single week, it's like, we jump into something, you're like, wait, stop, shut up. We need to talk about this first. And then it's like, okay, that's important, do it.
Well,
you always remember it. I can
do it. I try to, anyway. There's a couple other things that I've been meaning to get out there.
Uh-huh.
I just haven't had the time or effort. I'm hoping that the show after Christmas Day, the 26th, are we doing a show that day?
Sure, why not?
It'll be like a call-in show. I'm hoping we can like get all kinds of cool announcements and stuff done.
Oh, yeah.
On that show.
Yeah, I think we're gonna leave that opened up. Now there was this week. We'll start with this because there's two things I think we should hit right now. First thing is the obvious, and second thing is something we found out before the show.
Okay. Yeah.
I think she might be listening.
Oh, I hope so.
Why not? I mean, what the hell? We'll start with the first thing, though.
Yes.
I know a lot of listeners out there who listen to our show, from the communications, the emails, I mean, just because we try to talk to everybody who listens to the show, which is impossible, but we do our best, right? And there's a few friends I made, myself, and I know we've all made friends through this show. But we did suffer a tragic loss this week, and we really don't do this very often, you know, as far as the show. We don't talk about, you know, celebrities passing away very often unless they're
right.
They're really important in our lives.
I mean, they go on, you know, we mentioned certain people on the website.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Making it to the show, really rare.
Johnny Ramone just passed away. Yeah. When we were on our vacation, he passed away, and that was really just like... But he passed away of natural causes. I mean, he lived a great life. He lived an amazing life. And
but this was a life cut short.
Yeah, yeah.
During a performance.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, Dimebag Darrell Abbott passed away. Well, he passed away. He was murdered. He was shot dead this past Wednesday in Columbus, Ohio. I'm sure everybody knows about it already because it's been just like... As far as myself,
it appears to have infiltrated ghostlytalk.com,
drunkendialing.com,
and
of course,
teammfps.com.
Yeah. Well, Wednesday night, we had rehearsal because we had a show this weekend. And I left there, and I came home just to, like, you know, just do whatever, mess around. And one of our listeners from the show, Elmer Havoc.
Right, Havoc.
Was the one that said, hey, man, did you hear what happened? He, like, hit me on Yahoo. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I just heard Dimebag got shot. And I'm like, what? Drive by? What's going on here? You know, what happened? He's like, well, he didn't know any of the details. So I'm on Google. I'm on the news groups. I'm on Blabbermouth, which is like the metal resource. And, you know, of course, the news was sketchy at the time. But then they finally confirmed it about 11:30, 12 o'clock, that he was indeed dead. And then the talk was actually Vinnie Paul, his brother, who is a drummer in Damage Plan. Both those guys played in Pantera, which is like, even Doug knows who Pantera
is. Oh, that is legendary.
Doug is Mr. 80s here. But he even Doug.
It's Duran Duran, I know about it, yeah.
Yeah, even Doug knows who Pantera is. And then Damage Plan was a band that Vinnie Paul and Daryl did after Pantera broke up. And that's who was playing Wednesday night when this crazed son of a bitch, from what I understand, the only reason this guy did what he did is because he was mad that Pantera broke up, and he was mad at Daryl because he thought he broke the band.
Well, that's interesting because I did watch the news, and it seemed that he also was a little bit on the deranged side from long ago. I mean, from years ago, he was... claiming that Pantera stole lyrics from him and things like that. And so a lot of his former friends that the news lady had talked to, they you know, said, well, we sort of, you know, stopped talking to him because he kept claiming all these things that were unrealistic, you know. And so they felt he was a little bit,
twisted.
Unstable. Yeah. He was unstable.
He probably went from he went from unstable to twisted Wednesday night.
Yeah,
because what he did, I mean, this guy he's dead too. For those of you who don't know, he's dead too.
Right,
a courageous policeman. From what I've seen, I mean, Blabbermouth.net has been like just been nothing but Dimebag Darrell reports like the last since Wednesday, and one of the things they actually had was a news report with the chief of police there in Columbus. And he reported, he said, 10:18, we got the call. By 10:20, that officer was in the building with a gun, ready to go. And they have apparently they have some new type of training for riot for the well, something like a situation like this where they hear gunshots where people are actually being shot. That a policeman doesn't have to wait for backup anymore. If he needs to get in there and take care of it, he needs to get there and take care of it. Putting his life on the line, obviously. This man came in there, looked around the side of the stacks of speakers and saw this guy holding the hostage, and he just blew him away.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in my opinion, I'm going to try to sound as intelligent as possible about this, but, I mean, I'm angry, too. A lot of people are angry right now. That's probably the best thing that ever happened to that guy. That was probably the best thing that could have happened to that guy.
Yeah.
Because if he would have even made it out of that stadium after that, after if that gun got taken away from him and the people found out, there would have been no police force to stop what was going to happen to that guy.
Right.
I know that. Just from talking to the few people this week that I've talked, well, lots of people this week about this, that there are people out there right now that are so angry. Because this guy, and I put a journal thing up on the site, too, about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been very vocal over the years about my feelings on Pantera. And you know that. You've heard me
yep.
about
yep.
it, right? I never liked him. I never liked him that much, I should say. They just never did it for me. But Dimebag Darrell, as far as his guitar playing, and Phil Anselmo, and Vinnie Paul, and the whole band Pantera, the band itself has had nothing but... They changed the face of heavy music, for one thing. Dimebag Darrell's guitar playing changed the face of heavy metal music. The approach of playing, his style and his approach and his attack. Based on that, a lot of kids that come and see my band play, for example, where they're always wearing Pantera t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
They probably wouldn't even be coming to see me play if it wasn't for this guy. And that's the stuff that I, you know, myself, along with about millions of other people have been thinking about. People like me that play in bands that know this kid would have never even picked up an instrument. This kid would never even listen to our band if it wasn't for this guy. Because, I mean, regardless of my feelings to Pantera, I know that that band still has it has a strong hold on our band. It's a strong influence.
It's an influence on a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Of, even if you don't want it to be, it's going to be. You know?
Right.
And that's the thing that's been just so gripping and painful this week about this. Is there's my... I'm not concerned about my feelings. I can handle it. But I know there's a lot of young kids out there, 14, 15, 16, 17, that their lives were that band. Their lives were that band. They worshipped that band. They're the reason that they picked up an instrument. Mm-hmm. They're the reason that these kids got into heavy music. And these kids just lost a hero. Prematurely. Because who knows what this guy could have done. He'd done so many amazing things already. And a lot of these kids I feel for. I mean, I really, whoever's listening, if you're a mother out there that has a son that listens, let him hear this, because I know what you're going through. I really do, and Doug knows what you're going through. Will's a Pantera fan. You love Pantera.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been blown out by this also. And even Doug has.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you, and you're just like, what? And well, you were like, I can't believe this. I'm in shock.
The world lost a famous and groundbreaking artist. And
exactly.
That's...
And it was, I don't know if it was a coincidence it was on Lennon's birthday, but what I've told people, though, too, is, yes, it was on Lennon's birthday, unfortunately, and our parents, you know, my mother still cries to this day about John Lennon, because she loved John Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
And we discussed this week, and she's like, you know, yeah, this is on, you know, John Lennon. I'm like, well, you have John Lennon, and the majority of the kids out there now have Daryl Abbott.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately it had to happen that way, but it's a testimonial now to what's going to happen in the future as far as, well, concerts for one thing, and music in general. I mean, he's immortal. He literally is immortal. And, you know, you have to think about these things. You know, that's what's going to keep this guy alive, too. That's what's going
right.
to keep his spirit alive. And a lot of people are just totally, I mean, we played a show last night, and the band we played with, Brand New Sin, hi guys, and I gave him cards.
Oh, cool. Hey.
Great guys.
Hey, Brand New Sin.
Great guys. But these guys just played it. These guys just opened up for Damage Plan a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
They were real good friends with this guy. So these guys were just like, they were still in shock. You could see it in their faces.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. It was just amazing to see these big, strong, tattooed bikers sitting there with a tear in their eye almost while they're playing.
Yeah.
Because it's on their mind, you know. And we were all wearing our ribbons, too, last night. Somebody actually went
cool.
to the time to make these ribbons. I think you've seen it on our website.
It's on the website.
Somebody
yeah.
actually took that thing and made these laminated ribbons and game to all the bands. So
awesome.
We all wore them on our straps and stuff. So, I mean, it's a beautiful thing right now for people to see all these people coming out and saying, you know, from the little guy who works at the party store all the way up to, you know, Paul Stanley from Kiss,
mm-hmm.
are going, this guy was the man. He was amazing,
yeah.
and it's so bad that this had to happen. So that's my thoughts on that. it had to happen. Sorry, guys. But
well, I didn't do anything quite so astounding last night. We went and saw
Tone and Niche
because they were playing at Trixie's Cafe.
Yeah, the
coffee house thing.
In Roseville.
Yeah, in Roseville. And we saw Tone and Niche play. Mm-hmm. They seemed to be really excited. I was really happy because they seemed to be really excited that we were there. Because they don't get to listen to Ghostly Talk.
Yeah.
Because Tone only has dial-up.
Yeah.
And evidently it comes through kind of slowly.
I shopped
up. And then, so I'm like, dude, you just call this phone number that we're testing, and you can hear it. And he's like, I don't have a cell phone.
Damn, Tone, what's up, man?
He is definitely...
I was the only starving artist in our circle,
he's like
man.
Misplaced from the 50s or
oh,
something,
no.
or 60s, yeah. And so he doesn't get to hear Ghostly Talk, but he seemed really, really genuinely excited, and Niche did too, that we had showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, well, I hope you can play here more often, because it's like really close. I don't feel uncomfortable, because it...
Yeah, as opposed to an MFPS show.
Well, I'm... The thing is, I'm old, you know, and I don't.
I'm
really
old too.
I don't know if it, like you sit there at a coffee house and you figure everyone's like talking about poetry and art and
yeah.
stuff, and it'd be like, I don't have much to say, you know.
So I just get an ego when I walk in one of those places. I'm just like,
but it turned out I Stuart was there. Stuart, I went to college with this guy Stuart, and he played drums last night for Tone and Niche,
uh-huh.
and I went to college with him. So we visited at Ramshorn afterwards for like
hours. He's even older than you.
Right, 10 years older, 10 years older than me. And he was playing drums for the band, you know. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah.
I wish I could have been there. I really wish I could have been there, but unfortunately.
But it was really probably mellow compared to compared to your concert.
I tell you, well, as far as that attitude goes, because, I mean, since Wednesday, I'm like, man, I got to play this weekend, and this is going to be tough. And people were so nice last night.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, I expect that every show I play, I'm usually going to bump into some person that's just going to be like, okay, I hate you. Go away. But last night, everybody was just pleasant. I think just judging by the circumstances and all the people that were there, it was just like, you know, everybody was just very friendly, and everybody was cool, and it was a nice feeling. And everybody just kind of banded together and said, man, this sucks, you know, and people were talking about it all night long, just discussing it, you know, so.
Well, when we were at Ramshorn, one of the things we did, we tried to get Tone to relearn or revamp or redo Cruising Through the Graveyard.
Yeah, I still got to work on him a little bit.
He may or may not actually do it, I don't know, because he doesn't even remember the song.
Man.
It was something he did when he was like 17 or something. And
yeah, he was pretty young.
Yeah, and he thought it was just like crap. And I'm like, oh no, it's not.
Great tune.
It's really
a
cool tune.
I love
yeah.
that song.
So
no, that's it. Yeah,
that's what we
I
did.
Wish I could have been there. I mean, cool. I'm still yet to go see those guys live. I need to do this.
It was actually really difficult. It was a difficult choice because I had called Bonnie earlier in the week, didn't I, Bonnie?
Yes, you did.
And I'm like, Bonnie, this Saturday, Tone and Niche. And she was like, this Saturday, MFPS. And I'm like, oh, no. But I went, the reason I went to Tone and Niche is because, I thought I'd kick you there. The,
telling me something?
The whole reason I wasn't going to go to Indiana last
yeah.
weekend
mm-hmm.
to visit with the Indiana Ghost Trackers was because I thought Tone and Niche were playing.
Yeah.
And then they canceled, or they didn't cancel. It turned out I was mistaken,
yeah.
and it was this weekend. So I was then able to go to Indiana.
Uh-huh.
Whereas, so I had initially said, no, I'm not going to Indiana, and then I changed to yes on Friday, right? Well, you had said yes on Sunday,
yeah.
and then no on Friday. So it was like flip-flop.
I know, I felt like a fool. I felt like a complete fool on that one.
But that was pretty cool. I saw a ghost light. I told you about that.
Yeah,
we
talked about it for like a half an hour last week.
Oh, that's true. That's true. We always do. But
apparently, too, this is the last thing, and we're going to take a break, because we have more coming on, and we got to get the business here, because this is going to be
right.
great. We heard some news before the show.
Yes.
I don't want to come off like a jerk.
I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't do that on the air.
No, I think it'd I think it'd be funny.
I don't know.
Oh, man, this is a tough call. I mean, what do you guys think?
No.
No?
No.
Piss on you guys.
I say no.
Well, what do you want to talk about then? We have like 10 minutes.
We have what?
We have like 10, well, 8 minutes, 7 minutes.
Good, good. We can talk about the lights.
What lights?
You know, yesterday... speaking of which, we want to talk about... also, we're going to be talking about MUFON on the 26th. That's not on the schedule yet, but the 26th, we're going to hopefully talk about MUFON. It'll be a call-in show. We'll be talking about Mutual UFO Network.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happened that last night, Will comes in the coffee house, and he's all like, dude, did you see the light in the sky?
I didn't see it, though.
But he had heard about it on the radio. Over Detroit, there was this huge, glowing, amber light acting unlike an airplane.
When was this?
Last night, about between 7 and 8.
Oh, I have to also say, unlike a meteor shower, speaking of which, that Geminid thing, I think it was Seattle. They were all calling 911, calling 911, calling 911. There's UFOs and stuff like that. And some scientists, same thing. Oh, it's the Geminids. You're mistaking a meteor shower for UFO.
So we have three locations.
I think it was Seattle. It was somewhere out west.
No, so now we have three locations. We have Detroit area, which was the first one. Maryland was after that.
Really?
I heard Maryland when we were on our way to go get food afterwards.
Uh-huh.
That's why I came in a little bit after Stewart, because I was sitting in the vehicle listening.
Keep talking. I'm going to look it up. I think it was out west.
Yeah.
So then we have Seattle. So it's three separate locations at different points of the night. No other place reported it except for three areas.
Right. So they didn't see these Geminids or didn't mistake the Geminids for
something
else.
Now, this happened just last night?
Anywhere
else.
Last night.
Yeah, they're kidding me.
There were, and then the one guy, Jeff, who I've known through passing for years and years and years, we finally talked last night. He said when he was on his way to Trixie's, he was driving down, I think it was a 696,
yeah.
And the whole sky lit up green. A big green flash.
Are we not online? Did you get disconnected?
No, I'm still connected.
Okay.
Okay, well, okay, so this happened, what time did this happen approximately?
Well, I know, Detroit was between, somewhere probably between 7 and 9, but I think it was between 7 and 8.
Wow. So I was in Mount Clemens by then.
And then
so.
Maryland would have been...
shortly after us.
Yeah, shortly after us, probably, between...
No, wait, this all happened last night.
Last night, yes.
All these places reported this last night.
Yeah.
But not like...
Where the hell have I been all day long?
But not like Denver or Fort Lauderdale or...
Gulf Breeze,
Florida. Gulf Breeze, Florida, where it's just notoriously, invaded by aliens.
Yeah.
But,
Anyways, we even had a decent amount of cloud cover last night.
Well, the weather sucked all week. It's been overcast all week.
Yeah, we're not going to see a meteor shower when it's cloudy. It just doesn't happen.
No, it don't.
I've gone out, and looked for meteor showers. We'll look out in this, this direction on this night, and if you're lucky, you see a little white streak that that's like a little star moving for like an inch across the sky.
Uh huh.
And they're seeing all these weird things last night in three separate areas, nothing else in between. And then they had some guy, some professor signing guy going, these people, they're just mistaking the Geminid meteor shower for what they're seeing. And it's like,
okay, prove it, man, prove it.
Reflections of swamp gas off the light of Venus. I mean, come on.
Tell them to prove it then.
Okay, the ghost light we saw with IGT, the Indiana Ghost Trackers, The red thing could have easily been a laser pointer.
Right.
Right. But that white one,
there's no chance in hell.
That was not a reflection on swamp gas of Venus. That was not a Geminid meteor shower.
Yeah.
That was not a passing car. That was an unexplainable ghost light. I can't explain the white ghost light that we saw with IGT.
Then they
not
had,
one
they had some lady on from Maryland who came on after this professor, and she's like, this wasn't a meteor shower. Meteor showers don't move like that. They don't zigzag through the sky. They don't. Planes don't even move like that. This is something we cannot explain, and it's happening. It's happened in more than one area.
Oh, I'm sorry. It says Washington here, So I was thinking Seattle, but maybe it was Baltimore/Washington, D.C.
And they're saying meteor showers.
Geminid meteor showers, alarm area resident.
Well, they show a picture of it. That's nothing like they were reporting.
And it looks like a falling star.
Right.
That's on Google News, too, right?
Right.
Okay.
I can try and grab it and see if they're talking about... Because I didn't read the article.
Yeah.
I just saw the headline.
Just read it up. Yeah, looked it up.
This
happened last night.
Last night. Everyone said the meteor showers were the...
Oh, Bonnie, well, that is way... That you were driving through like about maybe 9-10 hours later. Yeah, I didn't think about that. You were like a day late. Sorry.
Is this Washington?
So recreated.
Oh, well, that's obviously an artist's rendering.
Okay.
It actually happens every year, said Brian Geyer, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service. This year, it's particularly strong. Yeah, so strong that everybody was calling 911.
I want to look. We're going to look more into this because, honestly, I have no idea what's going on. So.
Yeah, this doesn't say. It just says Washington, in the Washington region. So that must be Washington. So it only happened here then. It wasn't out west.
We should just go down there at night and just get a couple of bums and talk to them and see what they saw.
Yeah.
Did you get abducted?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Goddamn right I did, man.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what. Let's look at this a little bit more on the break because we do need to go to break here.
Yeah.
And get Mark on the phone. But I want to look into this a little bit more. Maybe. Hey, you know what? Mark might have an idea of this too.
I wonder what we're talking about. Hey,
and
we'll tell him.
It's a great time to have somebody like this on the show too. So, you know, let's take a break.
Okay.
This is pretty staggering, honestly, because I really didn't know what was going on. I didn't talk to you guys all day either, so. I'm sure Will would have alarmed me if I would have talked to Will. Will would have called me.
Well, I knew you were busy.
Let's take a break. We're done.
Yes, you guys. Remember, www.ghostytalk.com, pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net. We'll be right back with Mark Kimmel.
Yes.
Down here now.
on.
Yeah, this is Reverend Ed Kraft. I want to thank you for listening tonight. This is Ghostly Talk Radio. And please visit me at my website at Magic Mind. That's Magic, M-A-G-I-C-K, Mind. wickawebsites.com.
The future of America is at stake, and frankly, many Americans are frightened at the direction we're taking.
You know, if there was ever a rock video made for Ghostly Talk, I just saw it right now. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I just saw the table sitting in the middle of a desert, right? This little card table.
Right.
With the computers and us sitting there. And, like, just some big long-haired rock band behind us, like, just throwing their hair around. And, like, this huge American flag, like, flying in the air, you know, behind us. And as we're just like, you know, blah, 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 blah. I just kind of like, I just vision.
As we're babbling on.
As we're babbling.
Yeah, well, hopefully the, you know, there'll also be a few special effects, like, you know, things floating in the air.
Well, yeah, like, you know, there, you'll see a UFO come flying.
Right, UFOs.
And that ghost, like, comes by and goes, hey, how you doing? And he goes and walks away. You know, but, like, just, like, just.
And we have to have Sean Burris of IGT walk by with his, miracle ear thing or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be like, that would be like so cool.
That would, yeah. I just, so yeah, if there's any producers out there that want to do a rock video for Ghostly Talk, well, there you go. There's your inspiration right there. All right. Back to business. We have tonight a very special guest.
Yes.
Who's been on the show before.
Yes.
And he even brought it up on the break. This is so funny.
An actual real return guest.
Yeah, yeah. He actually wanted to come back.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Well, there's actually a couple of return guests. So
this poor gentleman who was with us last time.
Yeah.
He stuck it out with us like a
trooper.
He did. I mean, he mentioned, he's like, you know, I remember last time when we were
in
the storm.
Murphy was here in person last time.
Yeah.
Actually waving his hand around. And,
yeah.
Causing you know, telephone lines to fall and neighbors to come out and worry, and
it was very
internet to get cut off, and
but he stuck it out with us, and it was a great show, and we were so stoked when we were done with that show that we really wanted to get him back again, and he was agreed to come back again, Mr. Mark Kimmel, who came back. You could actually go to his site at www.ufo-truth.
Yep,
UFO-truth.com. He's got .com. So with that, I mean, we'll just get right into this. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you very much. Happy to be back.
Oh, God, we're happy to have you back. There's a lot going on. We kind of, like, jammed for a few minutes before we got on the air here again. And, you know, the question we always ask guests is, okay, well, what would you like to kind of talk about tonight? You're like, well, there's a lot of things we need to talk about. And, I mean, so we're not spared for any content tonight. I think we're gonna get a lot done. You do have a new book out, though, first of all. It just came out. When did that come out exactly?
Well, it came out in September. The name of the book is Decimal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Decimal is the sequel to my earlier book, Trillion.
Yep. We have that. We have both of them, and they're both amazing.
Well, a lot of your listeners have, you know, already read Trillion, and Decimal takes it to the next level.
It sure does.
Mm-hmm.
People are telling me that, oh, Mark, Trillion was good, but Decimal is so much better. And, you know, what these books are all about, is a way to go and get the truth out there about this larger reality that's going on all around us, and people are unwilling to admit that. So it's a nice, easy way to introduce yourself to it if you're not quite there yet. Or if you've got, you know, your mother-in-law that thinks you're really crazy, you give her this thing for Christmas, and it's kind of like, oh, that's a nice, easy read, but, you know, subliminally, she'll get it.
Yeah, and that's really what it's all about. I mean, they are stories, but there is this underlying idea of, hey, look, you need a wake-up call.
Right, there's a cosmic reality that supersedes just you and your pocketbook and your car and your house.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Exactly. And, yeah, the books are amazing. But there are some things, I mean, aside from the book, though, I mean, the basis of this book, obviously, is all the stuff that's been going on and all the stuff that you study, Mark.
And it's all the stuff that's going on around us
mm-hmm.
that doesn't make sense read the book, and then all of a sudden, oh, now I understand why this is happening. Yeah, that's what these books are about. They're to kind of explain what this larger reality is all about and why it looks so mixed up on the surface, but you dig a little bit deeper, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, now I understand.
Well, that's what people need to do, though. I mean, that's what we preach every single week on this show is just don't take it for where it is all the time. Look a little further into it.
Think about it.
Think about it, exactly. Think about what's going on here. Just don't be spoon-fed information. Analyze it. Question it. That's my big thing now is question these things. Find out about these things. You cannot be vindicated for questioning somebody. If somebody vindicates you for that, then they're hiding something from you, period.
So much that's happened in the last 6 months, you know, since I was on here last. It is just amazing. It's like the world shifted a little bit. You know, it really did. It seems like we're looking I'm looking at reality through a different set of glasses now than I used to. And, you know, so many things are happening, and so many things seem like they're not quite right. And I was talking to some folks today. I was doing a book signing. And it's, Mark, you know, reality is just changing, and I don't know what's going on, and I feel it, and I can't quite make out what's going on, but, oh, it's different.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if you can put your finger on it, but I know what you're talking about. I mean, I think it's because, honestly, people nowadays, especially since after this election, for one of the big things that happened, because regardless of what the media says, this election that just happened in November, October,
it happened in November,
October, right around the end, whatever. It was one of the most important elections of our time. It really was.
Tuesday of November.
Whatever, okay.
Super Tuesday.
I'm no political scientist. Come on.
Okay.
But it was a really, really, really important election. And a lot of people are starting to really think a lot more about these things, just aside from just going into the booth and going, he's got better eyebrows than the other guy. Oh, I'll vote for him. People are really starting to look at the issues and the ideas of these things. And it ties in with everything that's going on with your books, too, is that, reality does seem to be getting skewed a little bit. I'm seeing people, I mean, sometimes it's for the worse, in my opinion, especially here in Michigan. And just go on the highway one day. But, I mean, things are getting different. They are getting skewed in my eyes, too. I mean, reality is different.
And what's interesting is politics is part of it. Politics is part of Trillion and Decimal.
Oh, yeah.
A big part. And the politics that you don't see on CNN and Fox and all those things.
Yeah.
It's what happens behind.
That's something more
and
than
who controls what you see and what you think.
Exactly.
Because there are people in Trillion and Decimal controlling what you see and think and feel.
And if people don't think that doesn't go on, come on.
You know it goes on. And it puts it right there in front of you in an absolutely brilliant story that's easy to read, like you said, Mark. And it's fun. It's interesting. You get caught up in it. And it's all in there. I mean, because you really describe the whole world through this set of characters that you've got going on in there.
Well, you know, and now people are calling me and sending emails and writing letters from literally all over the world saying, Mark, this stuff isn't fiction. This is true.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, in many ways, what's in that book is very true. It's kind of a composite of the human experience of what's going on. And so I somehow or the other, and don't ask me how this all happened, because I don't take full credit for having written those books, understand? I got a lot of help, and we all know what that means. You know, I'm not smart enough to put all this stuff together. Yeah, I did a lot of research, and but it's more like I'm the editor than the real author of these things. So, yeah, there's a lot of truth in there, and, you know, it may be 80% true.
It could very well could be.
Oh yeah,
I mean, as far as numbers,
I see a lot of truth in the stories, a lot of it.
Well, we talked on a break for a couple of minutes, and if you do go to ufo-truth.com, you do have you said a message board of some sort,
a news bulletin,
right?
Yeah,
that actually features like up to date things that are happening around the world, all these, you know, extraterrestrial type events that are going on. I mean, do you have a couple that are at the top of the list right now that you wanted to talk about?
The one I like that just happened a few days ago was that down in Australia, there were these large lights that appeared up on the northern coast of Australia near Darwin. And a lot of people, you know, tend to dismiss these things as it's just a bunch of lights. It's the lights of airplanes. It's the meteor shower, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
But this thing stuck around for several hours, and it was different color balls of light, green and red and blue, and they would come together and come apart and that type of thing. But what's the most significant is that here's a spokeswoman for the Australian Department of Defense, and she's saying the object was not a secret military aircraft, nor was it related to our Air Force. So, and then the local airport officials are saying, hey, it wasn't an airplane flying around up there, you know, circling for 4 hours. So that's a tacit admission that something is going on here. Lots and lots of people saw the thing, and but, you know, the government is finally being forced to come clean with some of these things and saying, we don't really have an explanation.
Well, what I'm afraid of that, and that, I mean, obviously that one story is a small piece of the giant puzzle of this thing. And the one thing that has me a bit concerned is, just like, you know, the bad news and things that we don't want to happen, it seems that I think that, you know, governmental bodies have learned that if you kind of spoon feed it in small doses, that it kind of makes it easier for the public to take. And we've said this on the show before, that if President Bush was to come on TV tonight, for example, after we were done broadcasting, we turn on whatever, and President Bush comes on and goes, hey, I got to level with you guys, all right? All this stuff about, you know, weather balloons or whatever story there was that the government used for an explanation, none of it's true. There are extraterrestrial spacecraft visiting this planet. There is life outside of this solar system. It's all true, okay? I'm leveling with you guys. Bottom line, this is what's going on. I don't want to say we'd have chaos, but some people, there would be some outlandish things happening. We know that. And that's not a good thing, I agree. But it seems that the small spoon feeding thing, that little tactic, seems to make everybody kind of palate it a little easier, you know. And after a while, you just become immune to it. Obviously, if you just take medicine, over and over again, the same thing. After a while, your system, your body becomes immune to it. It's the same thing. Do you think that might be what the tactic is that's being used, Mark?
Well, you know, I guess I'm thinking a little bit differently here.
Okay.
I think that the public is smarter than we give them credit for.
Okay.
I believe that if this whole thing came clean, that a significant percentage, now it might only be 10% or 20% of the people would say, well, finally the truth is out.
That's what I would do. I know that's what I'd be like.
I'd be like,
thank you.
It's about
thank
time.
Thank you, God. You know, I mean, geez, it took you only like 70, 80 years to come out with this. Thank you. I mean, of course, I think I would be a little bit angry still going, hey, man, you know, why didn't you just come clean in the first place? Give me a good reason for this. But I wouldn't go out and start looting stores and stuff. I don't think that would happen anyways. But that would be, that in my mind, I guess that's what I think some people might do. Is that obviously, that would be huge. That would be the biggest news of our time. There'd be nothing that could parallel something like that.
It is the biggest story of our time, and it's just not getting out.
Yeah.
Particularly in this country. Now you go over to the UK, and we've got these crop circles that have been going over there for how many years? You know, going back 20, 25 years,
mm-hmm.
We've had crop circles. And everybody in the UK understands that these crop circles are over there in Wiltshire and those areas. And it's kind of like, oh, yeah, we got crop circles over here. And now, I mean, there's an indication of about half the people think, oh, you know, this whole thing's a hoax. There's probably about a quarter of the people that think that, oh, this is some sort of a put-up job. And then there's probably about a quarter of the people that believe, yeah, this is pretty cool. This is really neat. This is an indication that there are some extraterrestrials around here.
I mean, I know everybody down in this basement, I mean, to a certain degree, I think we all are pretty convinced, you know, because we do, all of us down here, read between the lines at all times. We're always thinking, because we need to do that to do this show. We're already pretty convinced that something is going on.
Well, we've talked to too many people.
We have to
believe otherwise.
Yeah.
Because we've talked with Heidi Hollis, we've talked with Stanton Friedman.
Yeah.
We've talked with Mark Kimmel. We've talked with so many people to not like pay attention.
Yeah, exactly.
And say there's something going on, and the news media is dealing with it.
Understand what crop circles really are.
I'm sorry. What was that?
What? Do you understand what crop circles really are?
You know, it's interesting you brought that up.
Let me give you an explanation that I have just come to understand.
Okay.
There, you know, this planet of ours just doesn't go and exist all by itself. If anybody thinks this is a little sphere, you know, running around on the fringes of the Milky Way, and it happened to be here by chance, and it just exists all by itself, they're crazy. There are lots and lots of outside influences that happen here daily to keep this thing adjustment. Now, the crop circles happen to be on a very high energy vortex area, and there are constant readjustments to this planet going on a daily basis. So the crop circles are the signature of that adjustment. It's kind of like, you know, your mechanic goes and tunes up your car, and he leaves a little thing on your windshield to say, this is what I did.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get your oil changed in 5,000 miles. Well, that's kind of what this is it's the signature of this energy coming into our planet that goes and keeps us on track, and it's kind of like, okay, this is the kind of energy that came in today. So that's why there's all these different shapes and forms of crop circles.
Okay. Well, one of the most interesting and mind-melding things that you thought we talked about on the last show was, you know, I had to ask you, I'm like, Mark, why are they visiting us? Why? Why are they doing here? What's going on? What's the reason for this? I had to ask you bluntly, what do you think? And the answer you gave me, it makes so much sense, too. People, and I always tell people that when you study astronomy, for example, you really need to, A, open your mind. You have to. And, B, get used to crunching big numbers. Astronomical figures, the term, means that these numbers that you're going to be looking at are going to be completely out of this world. What a day in space is, it's the existence of our planet, pretty much. I mean, as long as it's been here, it's a day. And the answer you gave me on that was that these people are coming here because the universe, the galaxy, whatever, we don't know how far it goes out. It could be infinite. It could have a border somewhere. Nobody knows yet that it is all interrelated in some way. And that the things we do on this planet affect the whole big picture. And they could be concerned. They could be curious. One way or the other, they're visiting us.
Well, they're here because things are not quite right here.
You said it.
No, not quite right. And yeah. We could do a little better here, like 1,000 times better. And it's like, is there anything we could, you know, help you do to kind of get your act together here, folks, before you put this planet down the toilet? And, hey, that's going to reverberate all the way through the galaxy.
Yeah, and I find that amazing. Because it is the mechanics of the universe right there.
Well, while we are destroying ourselves, right, because we're on this path to oblivion at the moment, that has, just if you take the currently accepted laws of physics, you know, and things that, you know, matter cannot be created or destroyed, energy cannot be created or destroyed, it can only, like, change form. You know,
yes.
You take those that are accepted scientific laws. If we destroy this planet, there's a heck of a lot of energy getting just released.
Yes, exactly.
Well,
for
so
no
here's
reason.
A question for you. Why is it that we seem so hell-bent on destroying ourselves?
I think it's a lot of politics.
It's all politics.
And money, and our humans are...
Why would the money people, the politicians, go and want to self-destruct?
Well, they're short-sighted.
That's exactly what it is. They don't look at the long term. They look at what their
wealth
will be now.
They're selfish, and you mentioned that in Decimal, the psychology of in Decimal, the psychology of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very psychological, and how humans are different from aliens, and we have this free will stuff going on,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately we've used it to trample all over each other and the planet that we currently inhabit.
Yeah.
And so I is it a basic tenet of being human to be short-sighted? I don't know if it is. I can't say, like, the Indians were short-sighted. They lived, you know, back in the day at you know, peace with nature and the earth and things
well,
like that.
It had to start somewhere. It had to start somewhere. Okay, and the way
the
I look
smokestacks. I mean,
well, yeah.
The production.
Yeah,
it
all had to start somewhere, and over time, obviously, especially in the last century, it has trickled down onto all of us now. It really has, because we're forced to live this way. We are. We're forced.
Here's a question for you: do you think that we're capable of doing this to ourselves? Or is there something...
I think the interview's turned over on us now.
Yeah, wait a minute. This didn't work out very well.
No,
you know, I think as a group entity, you know, as this global society, I think that, yes, we're capable of doing it to ourselves, and that's absolutely disgusting. But I see that everybody wants everybody to be mediocre, and everybody wants everybody else to be... you know, exactly the same way that they are, and everybody is short-sighted, and everybody is political. But individually, I don't think anybody individually is capable of doing this, because it's just morally wrong.
So maybe at the basis of all of this is the fact that nobody really wants to take responsibility.
That's it.
For what's going on.
That's it.
Is that it?
That's exactly it.
Nobody wants to go and say, okay, here's the line in the sand. We're not going to go and do this anymore. We're going to take individual responsibility for what's going on here, and we're going to stop this stuff.
That's what's happening, nobody wants to, you know, set the border. Nobody wants to, you know, draw that line. Nobody wants to say, hey, you guys are... It's immoral to be doing this to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you shouldn't chop your own hand off, and you know you shouldn't chop anyone else's off. But you shouldn't also, you know, engage in this, you know, pollution and violence using up of the resources just willy nilly.
Mm-hmm. But by taking responsibility, though, what are you doing to yourself?
Well, you know, all it takes
setting yourself up
for
yeah.
a few people, and it doesn't take that many, to go and stand up and say, all right, I'm going to be responsible. I'm not going to do any more of this. I'm not going to go and sit back and say, well, the government will take care of it.
Oh.
Or these, you know, the environmental crowd, they'll take care of the environment. Or somebody else will do it. All it takes is a few people to stand up and say, I tell you what, I'll take responsibility for this. You know, and if we get that going, I think we can turn this thing around.
Well, do you think anybody in power could... The thing I think is, if somebody was to do that, hey, kudos to you and yay for you, okay, to do something like that. If anybody in power was to do something like that, okay, look, I'm taking responsibility for this now. We need to stop pollution, for example. I mean, that's a huge topic right there itself, but we need to stop polluting our environment. I'm going to take responsibility for that, okay? By taking responsibility, I think, okay, I'm going to say, this is on me. I did this, okay? I'm responsible for this. I'm going to fix it now. That's going to be a huge blow to your ego, for one thing. Okay? But on top of that, you're going to have a whole storm come down on top of you also.
Oh, you're not
by taking
responsibility.
Yeah, you're not going to be liked by anybody. Now, that right there, obviously, is part of the problem.
Well, you know what's interesting, and this is directly related, because this is absolutely... I think it's amazing, and you know what, Mark? I think it might be an example of what you're talking about, a perfectly clear example. The folks who made that electric car...
Yeah.
There's that electric car that comes out, and I talked about it briefly on a show that I don't think you were
here
for, but I talked about it, and they made this electric car, and they're over in Europe,
mm-hmm.
In France, I think, so it's a really ugly electric car, you know? but they on their website, right, they try to combat some of the things that they say that people are coming up with against the electric car. And one of the things that folks, or I'm sorry, it's not an electric car. It's a compressed air.
Yeah, compressed air. Yeah.
The car runs on compressed air.
Okay.
And I think it's theaircar.com. Well, they're saying that in order to compress this air and fill your tank, you've got to use energy. You've got to use electricity. So all you're doing, this is what people say, all you're doing is you're taking the energy production, you know, from putting it in the form of gasoline in your tank.
Mm-hmm.
And that then is the energy store to move your car.
Yeah.
You're transferring that to the electric plant. Mm-hmm. Right, which is polluting at just, you know, oodles of pollution per second, you know, that kind of thing. Well, what the air car people said was, it's not our fault that you haven't demanded that your local energy producer use green methods of producing energy, such as wind farms, solar farms, hydropower, things like that, because you, in your market, are basically lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll take your electricity however it comes and however it gets to you. It's not our fault that your electric producers are using coal or oils or, you know, anything, or atomic energy or anything like that. You're not using, you know, what Mother Nature provided. That's your own fault.
Mm-hmm.
They said the people in Denmark aren't complaining about that stuff. I think it was Denmark, because they use wind farms and hydro.
But then that just turns into a new debate, though. That's all. I mean, is that really solving the problem? This car was created they're trying to work on it to solve a problem.
No, but what happens is, whose responsibility is it, and that's what we're talking about, whose responsibility is it for you, for your local energy producer to use clean methods of producing energy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's your responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You've got to go there and you've got to say, look, I want your power, but only if it's generated by either hydro or air, you know, air farm or sun farm, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to use coal no more. And I can't do that anymore. But people here in the United States aren't doing it for the most part. There are a few little communities that are doing it right.
Right, here in the United States, we're worried about the price of the electricity. You know, if the price goes up a penny a kilowatt or whatever it is, we can't do that because we got to go burn coal. Let's get that price down.
Well,
the whole political thing that happens here, and you know, it just happened in this latest election.
Well, what's disgusting is if you took the amount of money that you sunk into atomic research and then to build a nuclear reactor. Or 2 or 10 or 50 or whatever, you took that money and you put up windmills. You bought land, fresh soil, you know, with land, and you put up windmills, and you put up the sun, what are the solar panels, and you put in you know, dams or anything like that to use hydropower, like out at Lake Mead. If you took just a fraction of that money and put it in there, you would actually save money in the long run, because then once you put up a windmill, all it needs to be is maintained. You don't have to feed it.
Nope.
You have to feed a coal plant.
Mm-hmm.
You have to feed it coal.
But that just goes back to what we were saying before, though, the short-sightedness.
Short-sighted, yeah.
That's exactly where it is.